More than 800 people in the United States have been diagnosed with measles, raising many legal questions on disease outbreaks and vaccinations. Professor Lucy Hodder joins me to discuss. This is the UNH Law Podcast. Learn more about the law school and apply by visiting law.unh.edu. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or host and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire. So Lucy, we hear about things like this happening. Like, what are the first things that start popping up as a legal health expert?
Well, what's interesting about something like vaccines and diseases is it's a fundamental public health issue.
Right.
And we've been dealing with vaccines for decades. And when this pops up, the real question is going to be, who gets to decide what's best for the public health of the community? And is anyone allowed to object?
Yeah, who are the people that ultimately have to make the decision on what's forced necessarily?
Well, let's look at it this from who our regulatory authority and where that power comes from. And there's really the leading case on this was decided in 1905, a case called Jacobson versus Massachusetts. And in that case, there was an outbreak way back when. And what happened was it was a smallpox issue, and there was a reverend who decided he did not want to be vaccinated because it would interfere with his health. And that case went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, look, Massachusetts has the police power to determine that people need to be vaccinated for the greater good. For the public health and safety of the community, there is a fundamental police power that states have. And the state actually had legislatively mandated that people get vaccine. And that's still the leading law of the day. If you look at almost every state and even municipalities, there is typically by statute the authority pursuant to the police power of that governing authority, the ability to engage in fundamental public health functions. In fact, most states and municipalities, if they are big enough, have not only certain rights to mandate and control the public health through their police power, they often have the ability to declare a state of emergency. And if there's a public health emergency, then they can actually engage in police powers that are sort of hyperactive in order to make sure they're promoting the public health of everybody.
Which we're starting to see issues rise up with things like this. Like, I know there's been discussion in New York. It popped up with the Hasidic Jew population, how to handle it because they're afraid of stepping on religious rights.
Exactly. Interestingly, the 1905 Supreme Court case only said you can have an exception for physical health. So if an individual can go to court to try and prevent it from applying to them, if it's really oppressive to them. But now you're seeing arguments around religious freedoms and philosophical objections. In fact, 47 states have the ability to allow a parent to refuse vaccines for their child based on personal and philosophical objectives. You know, one question is, what's the right of the child in that circumstance, right? But New York and Washington, two very interesting examples. In Washington, there was just a state law passed, just signed by Governor Inslee, that basically said, you have to have a vaccine if you're going to go to school, and parents can no longer cite personal and philosophical objections to measles, mumps, and rubella. So they basically did away with the parent's ability to cite an objection on personal philosophical grounds. In New York, it was the city commissioner who actually declared a public health emergency and said, you're going to get a $1,000 fine and potentially even imprisonment if you do not get the vaccines in any public places, medical personnel, and children in school. And so once again, it's tied to these public places that the police power regulates, and the power that the city commissioner cited is what they're using for the public health emergency there. Now, there's a lot of response. So the Children's Health Foundation, et cetera, is saying, hey, you know, under your public health emergency, you can quarantine, you can isolate, but you can't mandate or fine if we don't get the vaccine. You need to make sure it's necessary and reasonable and meets due process rights and is non-discriminatory, et cetera. You know, whereas the police power that the Supreme Court case is enshrined in our governance structure really does say the public health and the community's health prevails over an individual.
With something like this, it's catastrophic. I mean, there's been these false narratives on the internet of late on, oh, they're just... they just expose them to measles, they'll get in to be over. It's not chickenpox. It's extremely deadly to children and especially and the elderly, especially, well, healthy adults too. It could be very deadly.
Right. And there's lots of misinformation out there and sort of conspiracy theories about what vaccines include and how people might react. I mean, the whole issue with autism and vaccines was completely debunked, despite there being a lot on the radio waves around that. You know, that said, there are individuals who may be older or have other autoimmune issues who may not react well to vaccines. And certainly vaccines are getting better and better. You know, we know for measles, in fact, there were a couple of years back in the early 60s where the vaccine wasn't very good. So the CDC plays a role. So the Center for Disease Control, the federal government plays a role by trying to monitor, by issuing what is the latest and greatest in terms of who should be vaccinated. We typically focus on schools and public health workers and health workers. So there, you know, the CDC certainly is sort of the source of all information on vaccines. But then when you get down to the local level, it's police power versus individual rights.
And that's really fascinating about the CDC, that you always expect government agencies like this to have enforcement capabilities. And it seems like state level instead.
It really is. It's state and local. And in fact, here in New Hampshire, we have a the Commissioner of Health and Human Services is the one who has the power to declare a public health emergency. The governor has certain executive powers that include a declaration of emergency, but the public health emergency is the Commissioner of Health and Human Services. And that's happened a number of times in New Hampshire. There was an issue of around spice, where it was in stores, there was a state of emergency, public health emergency declared. There's been issues around Ebola. We had a lot of discussion about what is the power of the state to quarantine, et cetera.
In Zika, the last year, there were some issues with it too.
Exactly. And Zika as well. So it's a really important longstanding power of a state. It's sort of one of the most fundamental health regulatory powers that a state has to regulate public health. And it's interesting to see the way it's coming up. Although, not so much given the harm that is happening to these kids who have not had vaccines and some of the devastating impact and the cost to society to manage, you know, the meningitis and the complications that come out of the measles and the exposure to others who may have lower immunities.
Right. I mean, that's something that's not considered very often is the fact that there are those in the population that are just unable to be vaccinated. And by having these few people that just say, no, I don't want to have it for whatever reason, they're putting these people at risk that literally don't even have the option.
Right. So what's interesting is whether we'll go back to the Jacobson v. Massachusetts, where you really have to show a physical impact in order to secure your own personal exception to the vaccine versus what some of the states have done, which is allow personal and physical objections, which may include also religious exemptions. So that's really where the issues are coming down right now. I think there's a good long line of cases that religious reasons, there's no constitutional right to a religious objection to a vaccine, given the importance of public health and the community's need for general rules around safety. And, you know, I think people forget we're so used to how we're regulated in the day-to-day world. Somehow a shot or a vaccine, what, even if it's supposed to help us or our children, seems somehow more invasive than the fact that, you know, we can only buy alcohol in certain areas and we can, you know, can't put certain things on our lawn. And you know, there are all kinds of things. When you form a corporation, you've got to register with the Secretary of State. There are all kinds of things we're willing to do. But health is always a place where personal issues come up. But what's interesting to me is that the Jacobson v. Massachusetts case from 1905 is still the leading law of the land around vaccines and public health.
Thanks for listening to the UNH Law Podcast. Learn more about us by visiting law.unh.edu or following UNH Law on social media. Be sure to comment and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Spotify. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or host and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire.